Good morning, everyone. Music, like poetry, has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meaning that we comprehend, like definition. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking each and every one of you in the listening audience to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you will find our quest moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibration. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, today, our two student hosts, Walter Pierce and Justin Hill, present their individual segments on diamonds on two featured black men in history, Garrett Morgan and George Crumb, born with the last name Speck. For definitions, Walter defines the word taxes, while Justin defines the word Afrocentric. We continue our broadcast by rounding out our show with curtains for our on our chosen feature artist for today, Dr. Dre, better known as Dr. Dre, real name Andre Rommel Young. Okay, so I want to start out by just saying good morning to each and every one of you. Tanisha, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, everybody.
All right. And Mr. Harris, good morning, and how are you?
I'm well. Bright moments to everyone.
All right now. And Justin, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay. And last but not least, Walter Pierce, take it away. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, everybody. And welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. Now, to begin our show, I want to start off with diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, Garrett Augustus Morgan was born on March 4, 1877, in Paris, Kentucky. He attended elementary school in Kentucky, but he spent most of his time working on his parents' farm. His parents were former slaves. As a teenager, Morgan moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, where he hired a personal tutor and worked different jobs to support himself. In 1895, Morgan moved to Cleveland, Ohio. He took a position as a sewing machine repairman. 12 years later, Morgan had accumulated enough money to begin his own sewing machine repair business. Over the next several years, Morgan expanded his business interests to include a tailoring establishment, a personal grooming product company, and a newspaper, the Cleveland Call. By 1920, Morgan had become a wealthy man with dozens of workers in his company. Morgan was always interested in inventions. His tailoring business was equipped with machines that he personally designed. During the 1910s and 1920s, Morgan continued to invent new items. Most of these items were to improve safety on the streets and in the workplace. Morgan was most famous for patenting the first traffic signal in the United States. Morgan himself, an automobile owner, witnessed a crash between a car and a buggy. This event supposedly convinced the inventor to create the stoplight. On November 20th, 1923, Morgan received his patent. His traffic signal was mounted on a T-shaped pole. It had three different types of signal stops, go and stop in all directions. The stop in all directions signal was to allow pedestrians to cross the street safely. Morgan eventually patented this device in Canada and Great Britain as well. He sold his patent to General Electric Corporation for $40,000. Morgan also invented numerous other products. In 1916, he patented his version of the gas mask. Morgan demonstrated his superior design when a group of miners were trapped in a shaft under Lake Erie. He immediately received orders for his product from fire departments and mine owners across the United States and Europe. The United States Army also utilized a slightly redesignated Morgan gas mask during World War I. In addition to the traffic signal and gas mask, Morgan also invented a zigzag stitching device for manually operating sewing machines. Morgan will pass away on August 27, 1963. I want to thank y'all for listening to another edition of Diamonds. As you can see, Garrett Morgan is somebody who has left a great impact on our society today because traffic signals, traffic lights, are still very utilized today. Of course, they're very needed, in our society. And, you know, without the inventions that he has created, we wouldn't be in a position that we are now. So we have to give shout out to our African Americans who set the stage for us to be great for today. Because something as important as a traffic light, you know, gas mask, is something that is very crucial to our society for us to be able to live today. So thank you again. This is student host Walter Pierce from 89.5 WSOU.
Justin Hill over to Walter Pierce. Walter, do the honors of introducing our next student host.
Yes, and without further ado, I would like to introduce our other student host, Mr. Justin Hill.
Good morning, everybody. I'm student host Justin Hill on WSLU. And for my diamond segment, it'll be on George Crumb. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. And George Crumb was born October 26, 1926, in Rhode Island. He died September 8, 2007, in Newmarket, Ontario, Canada. He was the first conductor of the National Ballet of Canada and an accomplished pianist, vocal coach, and musical arranger. From 1943 to 1947, he later studied theory with Barbara Pentland and Ettore Marzouk, and opera coaching and conducting with Hermann and Nicholas Coates-Smith at the Toronto Conservatory of Music. He also served as assistant to Coates-Smith and coach in the opera department. And that concludes my segment on George Crumb. Thank you guys for listening. This is student host Justin Hill on WSLU.
Okay. It sounds like you are talking about a different George Crumb, Justin. The George Crumb that I'm familiar with is the one who invented, who came up with the idea of the potato chip. Right. Now, I know there is another George Crumb, right, but that's not the guy. But it's okay. Mr. Harris, I'm going to bring you in here, and let's talk about the potato chip and George Crumb for a moment.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of George Crumb as far as potato chip was concerned, not as far as a composer. But, you know, he was a cook, a chef in one of the resorts up in the Adirondacks. And, you know, and because, you know, we always catch it for whatever we do. And one of the people, the patrons, complained that he wanted his potatoes, you know, sliced thinner. So he sliced it a little thinner. Oh, no, that's not thin enough. That's not thin enough. So, you know, he just to make them go back and do stuff over and over again. So he said, I'm going to slice this potato as thin as I can, where you can almost see through it. And then I'm going to fry it up and give it to him. And it turned out to be a winner. You know, other people was like hearing the crunch and stuff like that. They was like, oh, so what kind of potatoes are those? You know, so, a lot of times we get to do things not out of our own creation, but out of necessity just to get other people off our back. And it sounds like that's what George Crumb did when it came to the potato chip. Now we talk about it all over the world.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for coming in here. I'd like to bring in Tanisha Gardner. Tanisha, how often do you eat potato chips? Easy question.
Oh, almost every day.
Oh, no.
Shut up.
It's not good for
don't
the diet.
Kind of like on me and my weight. Shut up.
Wait a minute.
Shut up. Potato chips are good, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. No,
all right. yeah, what do you think about George Crumb?
That was very innovative. You know, that's something that stands the test of time to now and beyond, because it came up with so many different types of variations to create the chip. So without him, we wouldn't have all these different type of varieties.
Okay. You know, the one thing that George Crumb and Garrett Morgan have in common, and there's probably more than one thing, but this is the one thing that I'd like to highlight, is, and Mr. Harris, you can complete my sentence or answer my question. So what is the mother of invention?
Oh, necessity. You know, if you see a need, or they all saw a problem with the things that was already going around them, and they, out of their creativeness, they was able to come up with something that'll help make the situation even a little better. And, you know, a lot of people don't have that ability. But because we've been the ones doing all the work all along, it was not easier, but it was more relevant for us to, like, work on doing things to make things better for other people. And we wind up making it better for everybody.
Absolutely. Now, that being said, we're going to continue musically with our featured artist for today, and that is Andre Young.
Keep the heads ringing. So get up, get a move on, and get your groove on. It's the D-R-E, the spectacular. In a party, I go for your neck, so call me Blackula. As I drain a juggle of vein and maintain the leak bloodstain, so don't complain, just chill. Listen to the beats I spill, keeping it real enables me to make another meal. Still, run up and try to kill it will, but get popped like a pimple. So call me clear until I wipe off the face of the earth. Since birth, I've been a bad. Now let me tell you what I'm worth. Self-bomber, I cause drama, the enforcer. Music floats like a flying saucer. On a 747 jet, never forget, I'm that that keeps the mic gets smoked. Once you hit a beat kick with grooves so funky, they come with a speed stick. So check the flavor that I'm bringing. The D-R-E, I keep the heads ringing. So I can collect respect, plus the check. Now I'm fin to get into my men too, and take care of this business I need to attend to. Cause my rent due, and this rap, my meal ticket. So you right, I'ma kick it, or get evicted. I bring terror like Stephen King, a black Casanova, running over like Christine. When I rock the spot with the flavor I got, I get plenty of call me an astronaut. As I blast past another thought it was strong, but I smoke them like grass, just like teaching Sean. When I float, no, it's time to take a hike, cause I grab the mic and flip my tongue like a dyke. I got rhymes to keep you enchanted, produce a smoke screen with the funky green to keep your eyes slanted. So check the flavor that I'm bringing, the D-R-E, I keep the hands ringing. Without a care, running as if I was a mayor. But I ain't no politician, no competition. Sending all opposition to see a mortician. I'm up front, never in the backdrop. Step on stage, you get faded just like a flat top. Your rhyme sounds like your bottom and stop and go. Dre came to wax you, so just call me Mop and Glow. Minutes fly too, but just can't rock with. I'm 6'1", 225, a pure chocolate. Your chances of jacking me a Slim G, cause I rock from summer to Santa comes down the chimney. Ho, 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 and so, as I continue to flow. Cause yo, I'm just a fly Negro, so check the flavor that I'm bringing. The D-R-E, I keep them heads ringing. back up in that for the 199 to the nickel. So all you out there trying to get with this, don't even try. You couldn't see it through binoculars. Been digging. Yeah. I know you're bobbing your head, 'cause I can see you. I know you're bobbing your head, 'cause I can see you. You can't see me. Yeah. Death Row, let me know you in the house. Yeah, that's right. We out.
And we're back. And now I'd like to turn it back over to our student host, Walter Pierce. Walter, good morning again, and what's happening, brother? Talk to us.
Yeah, so for my second segment of today, I'd like to go into definitions. And this segment will provide the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. My definition for this week is, of course, another financial literacy term, and it's taxes. Now, nobody forgets the time, whether it was at their high school job, at the ice cream parlor, or their first job out of college, that they eagerly tore open a paycheck, already planning a shopping spree, only to find out someone has stolen a huge chunk of their money. Yup, that big missing chunk went to taxes, but don't think you're not getting anything for it. Here are a few examples of what your taxes get you: the clean water running out of your tap, the police keeping your neighborhood safe, and the garbage that gets picked up on your curbside. You probably have an opinion on whether you're overpaying or underpaying the government, but that's a topic for another time. Following, I'll be giving y'all an explanation of how taxes work. Now, see, taxes is contributions to the government, depending on the state you live in, the federal government, and levied by the government to pay for things that society as a whole needs, but people can't pay for individually. That would include things like the roads that we drive on, the law enforcement salary, and the president of the United States. Taxes aren't optional, and trying to hide or outrun them never really ends well. Plus, 96% of Americans believe it's your civic duty to pay taxes. But the best thing for you to do is get a basic understanding of how taxes work so that you can pay them accurately and on time. Understanding taxes will save you when filing. Collectively, Americans overpay the government by $945 million each year. That's about $400 per household. If you understand how taxes work, you can avoid giving too much to the government. Understanding taxes will also save you at work. At your job, understanding how taxes work can help you save hundreds on transportation costs or childcare by having your cost of getting to work or having your children take care of taken out of your paycheck pre-tax, but more of that follows. Understanding taxes will help you budget better. You will be able to accurately plan your monthly and yearly spending if you understand how much you'll be paying. And that concludes what I have for taxes. And also to give, you know, historical background a little bit on taxes, really, taxes has been around as long as people's been around. If you go to, you know, the different countries, places like Egypt, you know, China, Europe, literally in history, they taxed everything from, like, gold, you know, they taxed even the tea. You remember, you know, everybody knows the Boston Tea Party. In America, with Great Britain, you know, they've taxed really a lot of just regular things that people use back then. And that's, you know, that's really where taxes originate from. So taxes is nothing that is new. It is just, you know, new ways to pay for taxes and how taxes work. But taxes in reality have been around for hundreds and thousands of years. And that concludes what I have, again, for my definition segment. I thank you for listening, and this is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
And we're back. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, before we continue, I would like to hit you with another fable. Yeah, that's right. I know you weren't ready, but I want you to put your thinking caps on. And more importantly, I want to remind each and every one of you that you're never too old to learn a lesson. This particular fable is titled The Ant and the Dove. You see, an ant went to the bank of a river to quench his thirst, and being carried away by the rush of the stream was on the point of drowning. A dove sitting on a tree overhanging the water plucked a leaf and let it fall into the stream close to her. Now, ironically, the ant is a her, right? The ant climbed onto it and floated to safety, a safety of the bank. Now, shortly afterwards, a bird catcher came and stood under the tree and laid his lime twigs for the dove, which sat in the branches. Perceiving his design, stung him in the foot. In the pain, the bird catcher threw down the twigs, and the noise made the dove take wing and fly away to safety. Now, I want to start with Walter. Walter, what do you think the moral or the point of this particular fable is?
I like the past.
Okay. That's an answer. So, Justin, I'm going to ask you the same question. What do you think the moral of this particular fable is? Okay. As we continue. Okay, so Tanisha, what do you think the moral of this particular fable is?
This is a good one. So what I got from it is that when you help others, sometimes in return they might help you. Because that's a simple fact. What I also take from it is compassion. When you have compassion for yourself and empathy for others, in return, it will also help you in the long run.
Okay. Very close. Very good. Right. Mr. Harris, I know you're there. What do you think the moral of this particular fable is?
The first thing that came to my mind was one good deed deserves another.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, so if somebody works, you know, does something for you, then you see you have a chance, even if you don't do it for that individual. It's like paying it forward. It's like somebody does something for you, you do something for somebody else, and then eventually everybody's being helped.
Okay. And truly, you hit it on the head, and that was the whole point of me choosing this particular fable. I want to say that somebody has the volume up of the particular show in their background, so I'm going to ask you to turn that down. Right, right now, we want to continue with our next segment, right, which is Definition, featuring our next student host, Justin Hill. Good morning again, Justin.
Good morning, everybody. I am student host Justin Hill on WSOU. And for my definition segment, it would be on Afrocentrism. This segment provides the listener with words and the meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And Afrocentrism is culture and politics movement whose mainly African-American adherences regard themselves and all other blacks as syncretic Africans and believe that their worldview should positively reflect traditionally African values. The terms Afrocentrism were coined in the 1980s by the African-American scholar and activist Morifai Asante. And that concludes my segment on definitions. I thank you guys for listening. Again, this is your host, Justin Hill.
Okay. We're not going to waste any time, Mr. Harris. Let's go straight into it. When we talk about being Afrocentric, help me out here. But when we talk about being Afrocentric and having the Afrocentric point of view and thinking, what are we missing?
You know, well, actually, the whole need for having an Afrocentric point of view comes from a lot of the miseducation and stuff that we have in our regular school system. Because most of the focus in our school system currently is coming from a Eurocentric or from a Western civilization point of view. You know, and it kind of focuses more, the Eurocentric point of view kind of focuses more on things that Europeans have done and builds up Europeans as being like the heroes and all the people that came up with a lot of stuff, and they were the ones that helped progress civilization through the years. And, you know, and it's, you know, I look at it as a, like looking at cowboys and Indians. Now, if you listen from the cowboys' point of view, they were just moving out across the country trying to make things better for other cowboys. But if you look at it from the indigenous people's point of view, or the so-called Indians, you know, you just saw some people come and steal and rape and kill and do all the stuff like that. So you see the same amount of progress from one side looking like it's so wonderful, and from the other side it's like we're just defending ourselves. You know, they was calling us, you know, well, us, they was calling the indigenous people, well, they was calling us, and when we were coming from Africa, we were savages then too. You know, but that's just for justification for doing crazy things to us. And like now, we look at Afrocentric point of view just to, for the people to understand that we've had a pivotal part in history, not just in America, but through the whole diaspora. We've started civilization. And, you know, and everything that we've been taught has been like from, we've learned from other people instead of learning from ourselves. And that's all Afrocentricity is to look at yourself in a positive way and use that to help build our culture for the future.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to let this one go. I want to get under everybody's skin here and say that we live in America. America is built on the principles of being a melting pot, a mesh, a mixture of all races and identities. And through this special mix, we're able to rise to the top like cream, right, never being held back. And Tanisha, I come to you, and Mr. Harris, I'm going to come back to you and everybody on the panel. What do you think about that statement, a melting pot, and all of us rising to the top together?
I got to laugh at that one. That's the case they want to have redlining. That's the case we want to have to fight for our civil rights. That's the case the natives will still be on their lands. So everything they say is a contradiction. Of course, they came from Europe because they was going through oppression there, and it felt as though they could allegedly make it a better way here, but it didn't. They just took all, I guess, their demonic ways and just put it in America and made it flourish as a powerhouse because of the sweat of our ancestors. And that's the only reason why they are as powerful as they were, because our work was free labor, and they profited off of that to be able to build the empire that they have.
Okay. Now, with the sweat off my brow, as I listen to the point that you just eloquently put across to the audience, I want to go to our student host, Walter Pierce. Walter Pierce, a melting pot, an opportunity for us all to grow together. And think in terms of the term Afrocentric. What do you think?
Yeah, so really just using our culture, using our influence and our impact that we have on people to be able to grow and continue to progress in society is really what that means and what that shows. And all we have to do is really just start coming together more and stop trying to divide us and come more together. And that could happen because we have the influence, we have the power, we have the culture, we have it all. We just got to put it all together.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the future talking, talking unity. You define the word, Justin, and you presented the definition. From what you've just heard, what do you think about being Afrocentric? What is your why? Why did you define the word? Justin. Okay, so why do you think it's important? Going back to you, Mr. Harris.
Why is Afrocentricity important? Yeah, well, it's important because, for one, it helps build your self-esteem. You know, it helps in focusing you on the types of problems that you're having that are targeted at you, but they're not your fault. You know, if you get to see the whole picture, you get to see who is for you and who's against you. And, you know, and if nothing else, it just teaches us how much we have in common and how little we have in difference with each other. And we need to build on what we have in common more. And you won't be able to do that if you don't know what it is.
Okay. Now, without wasting any time, because we're running out of time, right, Walter, I want you to get prepared because it's now time for our final segment, right, and we will continue to chop things up here, right, and I want to talk about curtains. Now, curtains is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtains of the state. You see, as I talk about the show in the highways of and byways of my travel, I'm very proud to say that we focus on a segment where we talk about what a musical artist has done for the community. Many times a musical artist gains riches, money, right, from the community. But this particular segment talks about how that artist has given back to the community. Curtains is a review on their musical growth and history. It's the impact of a particular style and genius in the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience, musical and lyrical and social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time and musical releases. Now, Curtains serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist and his involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. Take it away.
Thank you. And again, my current segment for this week is on Dr. Dre. And, you know, a little bit about Dr. Dre is he is a rapper and music producer who first found fame part of N.W.A. And in 2013, he joined music producer Jimmy Lovin to donate a $70 million endowment to the University of Southern California to create the USC Jimmy Levine and Andre Young Academy for Arts, Technology, and the Business Innovation. And the charity that he supports is the Red Charity, the Global Fund, and the Michael J. Fox Foundation. And he also, you know, from his album, he gives royalties that he makes from that album, his ladies he made in 2015, he gives those royalties to charity, actually. So he does things like that. And he's also constantly giving back to, you know, where he's came from back in California. He's always giving back to education and to the people that live in there that is struggling. You know, somebody, you know, like Dr. Dre, who has, you know, a great music career and also just as great entrepreneurial because, you know, of the beats by Dr. Dre, as a lot of us already know, which he is, which he has founded, and the many other entrepreneurial deeds that he has done shows, you know, how well-rounded he is. And I've got to shout out, you know, the philanthropic work that he has done, giving that amount of money to University of Southern California and also to the state of California. That's really all I have for this segment. And I thank you for listening. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU. And let's transition to some music by Dr. Dre.
Okay. Now, today I want everybody to know I tried to do as best I could on the time, right? So we have about 90 seconds left. First of all, I want to give a shout-out to Val. Val, I want to give you credit for last week. Last week I took the credit from you. I felt bad about it, but I was busy rushing. This is an educational program, and the purposes are designed to help young people. And so I'd like everyone on the line to think about it for a moment and come up with some inspirational words to help keep on driving our young people forward in their desire to learn history. And even when they fall down 8 times, you get back up, right? So starting with Mr. Harris, words of inspiration, and what did you think about the show? Inspire our young people to drive forward.
Yeah, well, obviously I thought it was a very good show. And if I have any words of inspiration, it's like, don't always take other people's word for stuff. Research it for yourself, and you might get a different picture.
Okay. All right. And I want to go to Denisha Gardner. Words of inspiration, and what did you think about the show?
It was a great show, and I would say let your light shine in the darkest places.
All right. Val, there you are. Good morning.
Good morning, Quest Youth Radio. I guess one of the things that I would like to say to the youth is really pay attention to those, really pay attention to those adults that you circle yourself, not just adults, but people in general. People are not always going to say the nicest things and things you always want to hear. But pay attention to what they do for you. About the important things in your life.
Okay. All right. That being said, I'm going to let Walter close us out. And as he closes out, we're going to end up with one more song from Dr. Dre. Take it away, Walter.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 and all in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is the
best youth radio.
Keep the heads ringing. Get up, get a move on, and get your groove on. It's the DRE, the spectacular. In a party, I go for your neck, so call me Blackula. As I